Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
Guy, I was reading in this morning's Wall Street Journal that Tesla to lay off more than 10% of its workforce. Elon Musk tells his staff in an email, and it seems as though this company is grappling with dimming growth prospects amid an overall slowdown in the growth of EV sales, something you've been talking about for a while.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate reality. Everyone expected that EV growth sales would continue, and, you know, Ford committed heavily. The rental companies, Hertz, committed heavily, and the thought was this is just going to go straight up. Well, it turned out the consumer is not really ready. And as a result, Tesla is actually producing more cars than they can sell. Now, they've cut their prices several times, which has really put pressure on Ford and GM because they don't have the margins on electric cars that Tesla does. But even Tesla can't compete with the cheap Chinese electric vehicles. And so Tesla's having to right size to match their workforce to demand. It's interesting. I had a real life example. I've got a trip to Florida next week and reserved a rental car. And they presented me with the option of renting an electric vehicle for about $100 less than a gas power. And normally I'd take that up, but I have a lot of driving to do. I don't know if there's going to be a plug-in at the Airbnb. So I said, you know what, I don't want to do it. And that's the example of where the consumer is. That range anxiety makes people nervous. And so Tesla's cutting back. Ford is cutting back on their production. GM is cutting back. And it's just going to be a little slower adoption than anybody anticipated.
Tesla had more than 140,000 employees globally, so they're anticipating, I guess, laying off somewhere between 14, 15, 16,000 employees, which is quite a few. They delivered around 387,000 vehicles in the first 3 months of 2024. That's down 8.5% from the year earlier. The only group that doesn't seem to be diminishing at all in their projections and what they are asking of folks is the Biden administration.
Yeah, well, there's a political push to have more and more electric vehicles. And, you know, it's fine to want electric vehicles, but when you push it faster than the consumer wants, then you're stuck with either mandating it where you just don't have an option, you have to buy an EV, or you subsidize it so heavily that it becomes inexpensive. Now, neither one of those is politically popular. The mandate is really going to be unpopular when Americans don't have a choice. The subsidy is a challenge because the budget deficit is a serious challenge. It's out of control and growing. So the U.S. can't really afford to subsidize electric cars much more than they already are. So we really are facing a dilemma. The other problem is it's really an existential question. If the electric vehicle is the solution to all of our problems, if it truly is, then you would say, then let the Chinese cheap electric vehicles into America. Well, if you do that, you're going to destroy the unionized workforce in Detroit. You're going to empower China. And then you're really stuck on the horns of a dilemma. What's more important? And this is a tough thing that isn't going to be sorted out in the short run, but the consumer is voting with their wallet, and they're saying, not yet. The other thing that was missing from the Tesla comment was, if you dig into the notes, Tesla has said, we don't think we can produce a cheap EV profitably. We don't think we can compete with Chinese labor and the Chinese cheap EVs. So we're going to continue to produce higher end EVs, you know, super quality, super features, but we don't think we can get to the mass market anytime soon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately plays out with a lot of the enormous that's being offered. And even in spite of that, it's really not generating a lot of action in this area. And I don't know how any of these EV manufacturers domestically can cut their prices anymore. And it's interesting, I've been watching the advertising spend. Seems to be pretty robust in trying to move EV vehicles.
Well, it is. And you talk about cutting prices. Ford and GM are losing money on every EV they make. So how much can you cut prices when you're losing money? And it really becomes a challenge. Their only profitable vehicles are their gas burners, and particularly the SUVs. So you're on the horns of a dilemma. And if they cut prices much more, they really will cut into cash flow and their ability to engineer and to make solutions. So this pushing a product faster than the consumer wants, it really is a problem. I think there is a market for EVs. There's a market for quality EVs. I think the future probably will be electric, but it's just not electric as fast as the administration wants. And the other thing is, EVs alone are not going to affect global emissions significantly. You know, if the U.S. switches entirely to EVs, you know, it'll be an interesting phenomenon, but the electricity is still made with a lot of gas and coal. So you're really not affecting emissions. And particularly, you're not affecting emissions because one of the things that happens when prices for natural gas and gasoline go down, consumption goes up in the third world. So if we push demand down in the U.S. for gasoline, for natural gas, countries, evolving countries like Indonesia and India, will consume more because their consumers want to have a middle-class standard of living. They want air conditioning. They want washer dryers. They want the same things we have. So you're not changing global emissions, but you're spending a lot of money to change the complexion of the economy and the energy consumption in America. So it's one of those things where you're trying to do the right thing, but you're actually not accomplishing anything. You're spending a lot of money to not move the needle on carbon production.
So when you think about this, Wall Street Journal issues an opinion piece saying that by their calculation, electricity prices have increased 13 times faster under the Biden administration than across the previous 7 years. Although his policies aren't entirely to blame, but most of it is as a result of this climate agenda, and the price increases everyone's predicting are going to get worse, not better.
Yeah, well, the price increases are a natural side effect of the climate agenda. You know, when you close a dependable coal plant, and I'm actually in favor of closing coal plants as they mature out, you have to replace it with something. If you don't go natural gas and you only go renewable fuels, you have to have connections to the rest of the grid, which we don't have yet. And then you end up on cloudy days buying surplus power at a tremendously high price, and your cost goes up. So we're faced with a challenge of getting prices down. We haven't we haven't gone to the most logical solution, which is nuclear power, for reasons that baffle me. Even the Japanese are now reopening their nuclear plants and realizing, you know, for heavy-duty production, nuclear is the perfect solution, zero carbon. But we're pushing forward in a direction that is not actually as constructive as it should be, and we're not building power plants, and we're not building connections the way we need to. And it's not just the green agenda. There are other things that are going on. Bitcoin mining is tremendously energy intense, but artificial intelligence consumes a tremendous amount of energy. And so there's very high demand for energy. And as you say, prices are going up faster than inflation because demand is so strong.
So when you have this confluence of minimizing these, what are referred to as these baseload power plants that you just referred to, whether they're coal-fired or natural gas-fired, and you're pushing all of this increase electricity demand and usage, there's only one way for the only one place for these costs to go up, right? You're reducing supply, increasing demand. And all of these alternatives, all of these green alternatives, require traditional electrical backup systems, depending on climatic changes or anomalies during the year. They have to go back to the grid, right?
Yeah, they do. And what's unfortunate is if you're running a base natural gas plant and the utilities are forced to take all of the wind power that shows up, all of the solar that shows up, your normal income goes down year by year. And at some point you say, I can't run this business. And the utilities say, well, but you're absolutely essential. There are times of the year that we can't keep the lights on without you. And you respond, well, that's fine, but you've destroyed my profit margin by buying all of the wind and electric power that shows up. Unless you subsidize base load or don't or do something different, there'll be times when you just don't have electricity, and that becomes scary. I just got back from a week in Cuba, and the power goes out every single day, and the disruption to people's daily lives is just awful. I mean, you can't refrigerate things. You can't dependably cook. You don't know when the power is going to be on, but you know it's going to be off for a while. And if we're not careful, we're going to put ourselves in that situation of having an undependable grid where blackouts are the alternative, where we've pushed the base load away and it doesn't exist anymore. But on those dark days, on those rainy days, on those non-windy days, there may not be enough power to keep everything going. And I don't think Americans are really wanting to adjust to days with no power or times with no power on a routine basis.
Do you think that if that were, I mean, obviously the mood of the country would change substantially because if that was to occur, because our pain threshold for that is pretty damn low, right? I mean, we're not going to be willing to tolerate rolling blackouts for a lengthy period of time.
Oh, no. And a perfect example of that is before we started drilling for oil in Alaska, there was a tremendous amount of environmental concern about caribou mating. And then oil prices shot up. The Middle East cut it off. And the American people said, look, get the caribou to singles bars. We need to drill. We don't care about the mating anymore. So, yeah, the American people's opinion would switch if you start losing power. And that's one of the things that there's not an unlimited reservoir of trust in the government right now. And people are a little skeptical about government promises. And politicians have to respond to individual pressure. So if we push so hard that we create blackouts and high prices, you could lose whatever support exists right now for a transition to a greener environment, which really be unfortunate. It's in all of our better interest if we can have a nice, sustained transition to a better environment. But if you lose support of the people, you could actually end up going backwards on things like that.
Yeah, for sure. We've got to get to a break. When we come back, we will talk about local fraud targeting the elderly with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, local fraud targeting the elderly. What's up now?
Newell, it seems like the crooks never take a break. There are four big frauds hitting elderly right now in our community, and then another one hitting the general public. So we'll start with the elderly. One of the challenges is senior citizens have a lot of time. They tend to like to post pictures of their kids on Facebook, and the result is Instagram, other websites like that. And the result is scammers now know the names of the grandchildren. So the first scam that we're seeing is grandchild in jail. Your child, and they know the kid's name, is in jail and need to be bailed out. Now, the most sophisticated version is absolutely scary. This is one where the children have posted and the grandparents have posted audio where the grandchild, happy birthday, grandmother, you know, so glad to see you. They're using AI to replicate the grandchild's voice, and the grandchild in the voice that the grandparents recognize is, you know, grandma, I'm in jail. I need this money. You need to send $500 by Venmo or else they're not, I'm going to have to stay overnight with all these horrible people. Well, first, you're not going to send jail money by Venmo. That never happens. You're not going to send it by wire. You're not going to send it by gift card. Those are all ways people get the money. But the grandparents are hearing their grandchild's voice, and it's terrifying. And the crooks are using AI to make it seem very, very real. The other is a medical emergency. This doesn't use AI, but it uses knowledge of the kids. Supposedly, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Your grandson, Ivan, has this horrible instance. You know, he doesn't have an insurance card. We need $200 to cover the copay, or we can't put him into treatment. I mean, once again, hospitals don't do that. Doctors don't do that. But the grandparents are terrified, and they send the money quickly. Another version is the travel one, and this one ties into social media. The grandchild is in the Grand Canyon, and the email or the message comes in, you know, little Susie has broken her leg in the Grand Canyon. We need money for medevac. And they knew she was in the Grand Canyon. They posted the pictures. And they fall for it, and they think, okay, let me send this money right away. Once again, by either gift card, Venmo, wire transfer. And grandparents are falling for this all over our metro area. The last one is just bizarre, and I can't believe people fall for it, but they do. It's the Amazon package scam. your Amazon package was opened in Arizona and it contained marijuana. If you don't send $1,000, the police are going to come and arrest you. It's like, what? You know, as a former law professional, that would never happen. But no. Grandparents get and elderly get wrapped up and they send the money. So the grandchild in jail, the medical emergency, the travel, and then the marijuana in the Amazon package, which if it didn't work, they wouldn't keep doing it. But these are all sweeping our area right this minute, and we're seeing people affected by them on literally a daily basis.
You know what else I've been seeing is that you have an account with some online service. And a lot of times, you know, I don't have one because I don't utilize a whole bunch of them, but my wife does. And it occurred to me that it's worthwhile going in your notes or something and creating a list of all the services that you subscribe to so that you can quickly check. Because I get these periodically, and it's like one of them is PayPal. You have your PayPal account, yada, 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 and it's trying to suck you in, right? Well, I don't have a PayPal account, so I don't use it. So, you know, you don't need to go clicking on all of this to find out. And it's just it's an attempt to pique your curiosity to get you to enter, you know, some other domain where there's nothing positive going to come out of that entrance for sure.
Yeah. And what they're doing is they're speculating that X percent of people have PayPal accounts. If they hit one who does, you'll enter your credentials and now they have access. And right. That leads into the scam that we're seeing affecting the general public. And this one, we're seeing it mostly with Chase and OnPath. Now, once again, Chase has nothing to do with this. They are not guilty in any way, shape, or form. The criminals are targeting Chase customers because there are a bunch of them. Chase is the big gorilla, very large bank. OnPath is a big credit union. You get a text message, there has been a suspicious transaction on your Chase account for XYZ at Walmart. Click here. You click there. The Chase logo comes up, a spam phone number that actually looks like a Chase number shows up. Enter your password, enter your user ID to verify that this wasn't you. People think they're verifying that they didn't do that transaction. What they're doing is giving their credentials away. Now, the danger, and we've seen this past week, is once the credentials are there, if wire transfers are part of your suite of products, your money is drained out of your bank, literally that hour. And you go back to the bank and say, wait a minute, I didn't authorize these wires. And they say, yes, you did. Here's the entry, your password, your name. It's like, no, I responded to your email, your text message to me on the phone. It's like, no, the bank will never ask for your password in a text message. But this, we had somebody that lost over $150,000 from their Chase account because the crooks sent them a very authentic-looking message, spoofed the Chase phone number, and they're just gambling that a lot of people have Chase accounts. And one of the things that people can do is first, never, ever click on those links. You know, start over, go to the official bank website, log in, you know, call the bank from the number that you know. But the other is you can disable wire transfers in the security settings at your bank. So a lot of banks by default let you wire transfer money from online banking. And unless you're doing a lot of wires, just disable that. If you ever need to do a wire, go into the branch and take care of it. But these people had wires enabled, and the money's gone, and the bank legitimately said, look, we didn't do anything wrong. You gave all of your credentials to a crook. It wasn't Chase's fault. It wasn't OnPath Credit Union's fault. It was the consumer's fault, and the consumer hates to hear it, and I hate to say it, but the crooks are ever vigilant, thinking of more clever ways, and this is one that is really working for them right now.
You know, this immediacy of responding phenomenon, I think, is getting the best of people, right? I mean, sometimes it's best, especially when it has something to do with your banking or anything else monetarily, to take a breath, you know, relook at that email or text or whatever it may be two or three times before you do anything with it.
Oh, yeah. And Newell, a perfect example occurred this past week. A friend of mine at another bank had an elderly customer come in. I need $35,000 in cash right now. I need the money. And he could not talk her out of it. He could not in any way, shape, or form talk her out of it. Begged, pleaded, and he finally said, look, your daughter is on this account. Go to your daughter's house, talk to her. If she okays it, then we'll do the money. Well, about 40 minutes later, he got a call from his wife and said, if you had let my mom out of the bank with this money, you better not have come home. He said, I tried not to let her out. She was so insistent, the only way I could get her to stop was to send her to you. Now, think about this. This is a guy that could not convince his own mother-in-law not to take the money out. It was. Now, imagine he'd let her take it out. Now he's in trouble with both his mother-in-law and his wife. He's the innocent bystander. The crook is setting him up.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But that immediacy that you talk about, that's what happened. This elderly lady was so convinced there was an immediate need for $35,000 that she was insistent that she get the money out.
Yeah. It's scary. I mean, the way that they play on people's fears and alike. And I mean, and you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but they repurpose these scams, right? Because you and I have talked about some of these scams going back 3 years ago. And they come in vogue, and then they fall out, and then they come right back again.
Well, and they come back with new twists. The AI twist is particularly scary. I can't imagine how awful it would be to hear a voice that you think is your grandchild. I mean, who wouldn't respond to that? And the immediacy, you don't rationally think, well, wait a minute, does Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office use Zelle? I mean, really?
Yeah.
No, that's not happening. But the crooks, you know, create that sense of urgency. They practice. They have nothing to do but keep trying the scam. So they recycle, they retweak, and they really do prey on people. That's why we keep trying to warn folks, just be careful, stop, slow down. There's nothing that's that immediate.
I get a call every day from some disaster loan recovery program. Well, I've never taken out a disaster loan. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, literally every day I get either a phone call or a text message about this disaster loan recovery program.
Yeah, and it's the same thing as, you know, the IRS is going to cancel your Social Security number.
Yeah,
it's like they're going to what? So then I won't be able to pay my taxes ever again. Okay, fine, go ahead, cancel it. That's not going to happen either. But for a while that was in vogue, and people got really afraid. The IRS is going to cancel my Social Security number.
That's the last number that the IRS is going to cancel, right?
Exactly. That'll be there at the end of time. You know, when the dinosaurs come back to the earth, they'll still have Social Security numbers. And the IRS is for sure not going to go away and give you a means and a reason to not pay them.
Right. No doubt, for sure. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the latest inflation news and interest rates. When we return, stay with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, the latest on inflation and interest rates.
Yeah, I wish we had better news here. We've talked about this before. Headline, economist surprised, should always be, you know, they tend to be surprised a lot. Inflation is up. And if you, the year-over-year number is 3.5%. But the worst part is the trend is not looking good. January was 3.10, February 3.20, now 3.50. And the government says, well, we still expect rates to go down. But it's intriguing because the government is actually a significant part of the problem. And the same week that they're talking about we expect rates to go down, the U.S. Postal Service said, we're going to raise the price of a stamp by 5 cents. It's the fourth increase since the start of 2023. The proposed increase will be 7.4%. Now, this is the government seeking to reduce inflation and actually making it a bit worse in one of the things that they directly control. The price of the stamp is up 26% since August of 21, and this latest increase will be a 7.4% increase. So we're seeing higher inflation. There's some real underlying problems that are going to be hard to deal with. One is because of the tension in the Middle East, the supply chain is getting disrupted again. Insurance rates for ships traveling in the Red Sea and Suez Canal are higher, which affects everything that's purchased. Oil and gas prices are trending higher again. And because of the increase in insurance, because of the increase in gas and energy prices, it's pushing everything else higher. And we're seeing a real challenge across all the different areas. Medical care is going up, and we know insurance for homes is going up as well. And we face that in a particular way here in Louisiana. So this is bad news. And what it's done is it's pushed up the long-term interest rate, which also pushes up the mortgage rate. So these numbers are not what the economist expected, not what anyone was hoping for. But as I say, the government's also a bit of the problem because in the things they directly control, they're raising prices as well.
And also the recent action that the Biden administration took relative to increasing the cost of drilling on federal lands. And it seems like it's coming in all coming from all different directions.
Well, it is, and we're seeing a number of different pushes. One is the any regulatory fee is being increased. So the cost of dealing with the government are going up. The difficulty in dealing with the government has gone up, and that increases cost because if it takes longer to get something approved, you have to charge more for it at the far end. So it's harder to get things done in America. It's harder, certainly much harder to drill in the U.S., which is truly unfortunate. If you love the environment, the two lowest pollution sources of oil are offshore Louisiana and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, you just stick a straw in the ground and oil comes out. But in the Gulf, we've done so much to improve the technology that Gulf oil is a relatively low carbon intense form of production, and we're limiting that. And so what's happening is production overseas in places like Russia and Africa are going up, and they're much worse for the environment because they don't care about the methane leaks and other things. So we're both raising cost and raising emissions, which is a tough combination. And then the regulatory burden makes things more expensive as well. And that's not coming down. And then you have the push to raise minimum wages. And depending on where you sit, that can be a good or a bad thing. But it is inflationary regardless because now costs are going up. And you see cities, not content to let California do it by themselves. Minneapolis is now proposing minimum wages for Uber and Lyft drivers. And the Uber and Lyft companies are saying, at these rates, we may not be able to work in your city. And that's a new development, but it's also inflationary because it raises cost.
Yeah. Guy, Jamie Dimon releases his shareholder newsletter. What does that reveal?
Yeah. Jamie is one of the most listened to and most respected big bankers. And one of the things that's important, and the reason you should pay attention, is he has the ear of the administration. And the reason that that's true is Chase has done a good job through the years. They're a well-managed bank. And when you look back, Jamie tends to be accurate more often than a lot of other folks, certainly more often than the administration economist. What he said is, we're looking at a world where rates may drop a little bit this year, but in the long run, they're going to go up. Now, nobody wanted to hear that, but he's saying out loud what you and I've been talking about, which is, if the government keeps spending trillions more than they take in, someone has to buy that debt, and they're not going to buy the debt at lower prices. It's essentially impossible to say to people, look, we want you to buy a lot more of this commodity, more than you want, and we want you to buy it at a price that's less advantageous to you. So as a buyer of debt, you want a higher interest rate. And what Jamie's saying is, if we don't contain the deficit and have a real plan to shrink it, long-term rates have to go up. And I agree with him. I don't think there's any way you can get around that argument that long-term rates may go higher. Now, that's disastrous for the mortgage business. It's disastrous for highly leveraged companies. We talked about the office challenge of refinancing office buildings with declining occupancy and higher cost. If in a year or two rates are up significantly at the long end, it's going to really present some economic challenges. And he says, because of that, we're not factoring in as high an odd of a soft landing as everybody else is. We think it could be a little rougher, and we're balancing the bank to deal with both lower rates and higher rates, because we think there's an equal chance that it could go either way. And I think that's good advice as a banker. It's like we need to manage for both. But he's saying we're not putting the blinders on and thinking everything is going to go downwards like the predictions. We think there's a pretty good chance, if not a better chance, that rates may go up. So this is something I think people should pay attention, coming from somebody that has the resources and the knowledge that he does.
How much of an impact, because I've talked about this, you and I have talked about it, but how much of an impact is this student debt relief that the president keeps rolling out more and more and more, and billions and billions and billions, and it seems to never end? How much of an impact does that have as it relates to federal spend?
Well, it hurts, because every time you forgive student debt, you're hurting the economy, because you're hurting the balance of the federal budget, because you're charging off something that you should have collected. But the worst part is federal student loans, particularly the unlimited graduate loans, have caused tuition to go significantly higher, because for universities, it's risk-free to raise tuition, because the federal government's picking up the bill, and you have no responsibility. If your students don't repay the loan, there are no consequences. So you have horrible programs, and the worst example of all is Columbia's graduate degree in film studies, where they're creating graduates with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt for jobs that don't exist. And Columbia could care less, because they're getting a full check. The students really don't care that much, because they're saying, well, if I have hundreds of thousands of debt, I'll just put it on an income-based repayment plan and essentially not repay it. So it both pushes up tuition, which is inflationary, and it pushes up the deficit up, which is inflationary. And it creates a moral hazard, because there are people who have worked hard to pay off their debt. And at a certain point, they begin to feel like chumps and say, like, why should I do this? You know, if they're getting it for free, you know, I don't think I should pay. And I mean, I'm thinking of one young lady that I know that was first one in her family to go to college, worked two different jobs, lived in a pretty sketchy neighborhood at a very low rent because she wanted to pay off her student loans, and she did. And I thought, you know, tremendously admirable. But some of her friends said, you know, why are you doing that? The government's just going to forgive the debt.
Crazy. And meanwhile, this whole model continues on, and no one's talking about whether or not we're going to carry this program on in perpetuity or not, for sure. Guy Williams, this hour always flies by. Thank you so much for your time, your insight. Have a great week.
Oh, you're very welcome. You too. Good to be with you.
We'll be right back, folks. That was Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back. Scoot's headed your way. We'll check in with him as to how manic Monday it is today. We'll be right back. Is America ready for the first ever criminal trial of a former president? Scoot's up next, headed your way. With that and more, stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.